What's that on your t-shirt? Kinkan Gangan Randy. What's that mean?
It's a
made up German product that you are advertising on yourself. It's nice to know we've got, you know, people who come to see our show have a life of some kind. He didn't make it himself. No. Did you go to America or did you just get a place to go? Over the internet, yeah. Did you click the wrong button? Yes. Click. It could be, it's K, L and I could go together. So, no. I think we'll press on. My interaction with the audience, I'm just really alienating a few people. We're enjoying the show. I'm very bad at that. I should just keep the fourth wall up. All the time, I think. Even in the streets. Are you ready in the band for us to do this?
We're ready.
I'm going to get through the first line without making a mistake. That's my cast iron guarantee. Nothing can possibly go wrong. Due to Paul Clegg's work, I landed this lucrative gig with a paycheck that runs into three figures. Radio 2 groupies that Russell Brand, Jonathan Ross and Ken Bruce don't like. Rightfully, all that should be Paul Clegg. So I decided I would pay Paul back for all his help by making him the new co-host of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Paul Clegg. Me on the show. It's the least I can do, Paul. I owe all this to you. You see that 48-year-old woman with the bleached blonde hair and tattoos in the second row?
Really?
Yeah, because of you, I can have sex with her. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's a good thing.
No, right.
So, are you excited about being propelled into the high-octane world of Radio 2 sketch comedy?
Not really, no. I'm not sure it's exactly my thing. My acting job's pretty exciting.
Oh, what do you do?
I travel around the West Country selling gentlemen's suits from my head to Yatton. I can actually get you a good deal if you like.
No, I'm really not a suit guy. Suits are for squares, for businessmen. I'm cool, and that is uncool to wear. So not offence,
but no, it's fine. You are a bit old to be wearing jeans and t-shirts. So you're 40 years old.
Still. Shut up! I'm not 40. I can't be 40 because I'm dressed like a teenager. So that's why I wear these kind of figure-hugging t-shirts. Because I think it's not going to deny the fact I'm old. I might as well deny the fact I'm fat. This t-shirt I'm wearing today, it actually says, "How much is too much?" It's a t-shirt that when I'm wearing it, asks and answers the same question. So shouldn't we be doing a sketch? Yeah, we definitely should be doing a sketch. What have you come up with?
Me?
Yeah, I told you if you're coming on and getting all the benefits of the Radio 2 celebrity lifestyle, you'd have to write some sketches for me to do. It's only fair. Right. You can now get to have sex with that tattooed woman. You're lucky, she only likes Radio 2 personalities and serial killers.
It's okay, I'm happy to marry the family.
She won't tell you, apart from the tattoos. I don't like her. Shouldn't you have written?
I don't like the big blonde.
That's me, laugh. I don't like her. Stop it. Shouldn't you have written your own sketches, Rick? Don't start with that again, it's just like the old days. I've been busy getting drunk and crying myself to sleep.
It's like the old days.
If you don't let me copy your sketches, I'm going to give you a Chinese burger. Now do it!
No, it's alright. Oh, look, there you go. I'm not sure how good they are.
Right, let's have a look. Great. This one looks okay. So the 5th of December 1974, the final episode of Monty Python's Flying Circus aired on the BBC. Their most famous skit was the dead parrot sketch. Let's have a satirical look at it. You really need to put something that's a bit dry, but that's...
All right, okay, I'll just do that.
Just do the sketch.
Just sketch. You like
this? Hey, Mr. Minister, you complain. Hello, miss.
What do you mean, miss?
I'm sorry, I'm cool. Hey, Mr. Minister, you complain about this parrot that I bought from the floating
team. Oh, yes, the Norwegian flu.
What's wrong with it?
Quit from me! No, I did quit from me!
This isn't really a satire of Monty Python. This is just the dead parrot sketch from Monty Python. Word for word. Sorry. But turn that pet shop FX off.
It's such a good sketch. I mean, me and the lads at the warehouse, we're always quoting it. It always makes us laugh.
No, this is no good at all. You can't just copy things out word for word.
You should do that in my essays.
Entirely different. I was relying on you to get this done. You've really let me down, Paul. We've got another gaping hole now in the middle of the show. This is a virago. We're gonna have to regroup. So, ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome our band, Christian Riley and the Toll Puddle Martyrs.
Of December 1949, the birthday of Tom Waits, and I just wondered how we might be celebrating this year.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. The sky is black, the note is tall, the moon is a blade carved out of bone.
Children's feet.
transported for forming a trade union, and Tom Powell was where they came from.
So well, shut up, Swat. We don't, you know, we don't need to copy your essays anymore. No one cares about history. Just shut up.
That was great, Christian.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
Your bits are all my favourite, then.
Yeah, that's really nice of you.
I mean, if you guys want some quality suits, I can sort you out, Tom.
That'd be really great. And thanks. Suits can be a really cool look.
You're not here to sell suits, Clegg. You're here to write sketches. What have you got for me?
I've got a sort of idea. December the 4th, 1154, saw the start of the papacy of the only ever English Pope, Nicholas Breakspear, who chose the very English papal name of Adrian the 4th. Adrian? That's not very papal, is it? Wait for that. It could have been worth it. Sorry. It could have been worse. He could have been Wayne the 1st, or Gary the 1st. Or Nigel the first. I'm just
choosing English names.
Yeah, I understood what you were doing. It's just really very funny. Have you actually got a sketch or anything about this?
Yeah. I just thought that maybe when he goes, you know, into the Vatican for the first time, he wants to do it up all English, you know, put stone cladding on the Sistine Chapel, replace the blood and body of Christ with what these red barrel and red rocks.
Don't laugh at that, it's rubbish. It's rubbish, it's just obvious. They're laughing at you, not with you.
Better than I've heard so far. I think it's good. We could do it like having an English sketch. It's good. We could do it like having an English sketch of Goodness Gracious Me. People love that sketch.
We have to be original.
Rich, I have heard this show
before. I only ever copy myself. That's allowed. Lucky for you, I've got something I can use for this as well, because although Adrian the 4th was the first English Pope, a couple of years ago, this is completely true, I genuinely attempted to become the second English Pope. When Pope John Paul II died, I decided that I would apply for the job of Pope. I'm not going to keep you in suspense, I didn't get it. Sitting on the edge of the seat, but this is the letter that I genuinely sent to the Vatican to apply for the job. Dear Pope Finder General, that's who decides. Hi, my name's Richard Herring. I'd like to be the next Pope. You might think me an unlikely choice, as I've never held even a minor office in the Catholic Church, but I think I might be quite good at it anyway. Here's why. Reason one, I am relatively young for a Pope. If he keeps electing Popes in their 50s and 60s, then obviously you're going to have to go through this rigmarole every decade or so with a... Is that black smoke or white smoke there? Can't really tell. Isn't all smoke essentially grey? Don't think you should come up with a clearer system for this up to 2000 years. It's quite important, isn't it, really? I mean, I don't know, off the top of my head, maybe a bloke should come out into the papal gantry, holds up a sign that says, we have chosen a new pope. You might go, well, no, you know, a lot of people, a lot of different Catholic people speak different languages, you need an awful lot of signs. I know, and many Catholics are illiterate, which is why they can believe this stuff. Because... it's just still the one sign. It's just like, it's got a cartoon picture of like a generic pope, a white middle-aged man with a tick by it. Everyone understand that. So if they have that one, turn it over. It's a cartoon picture of a generic pope with a cross through it. No, not on a cross, mate. That was slightly insensitive. I'm only 37. I was when I wrote this letter. And two of my grandparents lived to be over 90. So I think there's an excellent chance that I could reign for the next 50 years. By which time surely no one will believe in this stupid Christian mumbo-jumbo anymore. We can just shut up shop, job done. I don't know, maybe sell some of the treasure we've got in the palace, give it to the poor. I don't know, that's just a thought. Reason two, although I'm not very religious, and if pressed, would say I am an atheist. I do have quite a lot of experience of church. My mum and dad were Christians, C of E, I'm afraid. Hope that's not a problem. come on, it's the same thing, really. They forced me to go to church about four times a year when I was little. God, I hated it. It was so stuffy and sanctimonious. Once I got about 25, I actually refused to go to church. Even at Christmas, even though it made my nephews and nieces cry. I think it's important to stick up for your principles, no matter how clearly wrong they are. It's another reason why I'd be a good pope. I do like some of the superpowers that Jesus had. They were pretty cool. And
free air travel, unusual hat, etc. Reason three, I believe all people are equal and have a right to do whatever they want, as long as they're not harming other people. I believe Jesus Christ said something similar. But like all the other popes, I'm prepared to just ignore this. And say that I hate gay people, etc., as long as I get all the free stuff. I understand if you can't give me the job this time round, but hope you'll keep my letter on file for the next time this happens, which should be pretty soon given the way things have worked so far. C.1 NB the smoke. Bad luck about John Paul. I am looking forward to being your boss. So that was the letter. I said they didn't even reply, which I think is rude. I didn't seriously think I'd get the job, you know. It was just a little bit. I was just having a bit of a joke, trying to lighten the mood, difficult time. I didn't think I'd get the job. I thought I might get an interview. Seriously, that's as far. But you can imagine how disappointed I was when they gave the job to a Nazi. I'm not being arrogant, but you know, beforehand they'd said it would come down to be between me and a bloke who willingly served under Hitler in the National Socialists. I thought I'd get that. Because in my life, given a choice between Jesus and Hitler, I've always thought Jesus was best. Even when I was like a tiny kid, I've always preferred Jesus by miles. I mean, Hitler did some really awful things, terrible stuff. The worst you can say about Jesus is when he threw those tables over. To me, that doesn't compare with the Holocaust. That's not. I mean, you really have to like furniture to get. Not even that good. Just trestle tables. Of course, Pope Benedict says he prefers Jesus now. He's changed his mind. But what I want to know, what if he changes it back again? It would be embarrassing. We've already seen he's a flip-flopper. He could change. So, I think they should have chosen.
Illegally can't be in the program.
apparently we're allowed to say that. This is all very compelling, right? Maybe the world really would be a better place if the Beatles had not existed.
Ah, but hold on, because there are also some negatives. Just think, if the Beatles hadn't existed, who would have filled the vacuum?
Yeah, let me guess. The Nazis?
Nice idea, but no.
The Borg? Would it be the Borg?
Far worse than that, though, Richard. The only other band at that time to successfully carry off mocked-up haircuts, the Monkees. Just think, the Monkees would have gone on to be as big as the Beatles. Though, of course, nobody would have known what that term meant. In this nightmare scenario, it would have been not John Lennon assassinated, but rather Mickey Dolenz. Meaning that we would now have his horrific gurning shoe face on posters, propped up naked in bed next to Yoko Ono.
Plus, the 1980s TV show Metal Mickey might have used slightly different camera angles, as some of the episodes were directed by Mickey Dolenz.
You grasp the gravity of the situation. Worst of all, though, Richard, had the Monkees been more successful, Tippex would never have been invented.
Why?
Well, because it was Mike Naismith, off of the Monkees' mum, who created that wonder potion, and had the Monkees earned more money, Mike would have bought his mum a bungalow, thus meaning she resigned her job, and never come up with the white stuff. Can you imagine a world without Tippex, Richard?
Yeah. It's pretty much the world we live in now.
Yeah, but the 80s and 90s would have been vastly different. Swathes of typographical errors would have remained uncorrected. Goths would have had nothing to write on their bags with. Lindsay Dobson at my school would never have become addicted to sniffing Tippex thinner and would have passed the one extra GCSE she needed to get into sixth form, ensuring her a university place, meaning she wouldn't have been working in Alaska Fried Chicken in Guildford last Christmas when I went back to see my parents and drunkenly attempted to look down her top, leading to the manager barring me for life from my favourite restaurant. Even when I told him it wasn't my fault and it was all down to Brian Epstein meeting the Beatles in 1961. An explanation which, if anything, seemed to make it worse. That, Richard, is what the world would be like if the Beatles had never existed.
You've really thought this through.
I'll live alone.
Right, Henry, thanks very much.
Prohibition ended and the United States of America has been acting like a drunk in a bar ever since. I think it's time for a close personal friend like Great Britain to say something, and this is our effort. Well, hello, everybody. I guess I'm surprised to be standing here. My name is Uncle Sam.
Hello, Sam.
I've been an alcoholic for 70 years. Thanks for that round of applause. I really need your support. You see, I keep making stupid mistakes. I got a flatulence problem in New Orleans, and my west side keeps getting the shakes. Where to start? Well, it's so hard. I was riding high back in 1929, of course. But then I lost all my money. Let me tell you, buddy, you can never trust a horse. Yeah, well, then I got depressed. And you know the rest. I guess you're never as strong as you think. My constitution's been crumbling since I reached for that bottle beneath the sink. There were times it was fun, I mean, I really swung, but you get tired of waking up in a strange bed with anyone from Augusta to Pinochet to Saddam Hussein, and they all come back to haunt you in the end. The booze made me loud.
fire. I guess that it's time I took my leave. That don't worry, I'll be fine. I promise I won't drink and drive, 'cause I've given Florida the keys.
Shirley, it never did me any harm, apart from all the constant bullying.
Agnes Gonker Bajonka.
Her mother called her Mother Teresa.
It's all right. It's all right to copy yourself. It's all right.
Very similar.
It's all right.
When he got to school, young Shirley Crabtree took quite a long stick for his name.
Hey, you! Hey! What's your name? Crabtree? What's that spelled? A tree that grows crabs on it.
Shut up!
No, it's a really bad tree. A crab tree!
Leave me alone!
Well,
isn't
it a tree that if you have sense
of
it, you can catch
crabs? Luckily, that was too adult a reference for any of us children to understand. God, none of these kids know my first name.
Shirley! Shirley! You forgot your lunchbox!
Thanks, Mum!
He's called Shirley! That's a girl's name!
Shirley!
I still don't feel my set for the tree I got the responsibility to deserve.
My dad was wiser than I realised. By calling me Shirley, he's deflected attention away from my ridiculous surname.
Hit him! Hit the boy with the girl's name!
Yeah, it's a good idea, Bronson!
There must be some way I can make them respect me. I know. I will dress up in a silver top hat with a funny costume and a big D on the front. And then I'll bounce off some ropes, hitting people who are deliberately standing in the way with my big fat stomach. That will stop them teasing me. And young Shirley did just that. And the other kids did respect him. And the lesson here is that if you are being bullied at school, then all you have to do is become grossly overweight, put on a back to front old woman's swimming costume, and bounce off some ropes and hit someone who is deliberately standing in the way with your big fat stomach. And the bullying will end.
So, that's just about the end of the show. Have you enjoyed your stint as a big radio celebrity, Paul? Have I paid you back for all the copying all the essays?
It's very caring, but to be honest, I'm glad that you, not me, has ended up doing this. It all seems very exciting, doing 6 episodes of history-related sketches once every 18 months. You know, all the tattooed 48-year-old women you can handle.
Oh, no, she left. She's tromboning Terry Wogan. Did you say that? Don't laugh too much, they might spot that's right into the script. We got away with it so far.
But ultimately, you know, your life's... Yeah, ultimately, it's a bit shallow, isn't it? Your life seems hollow, Rich. I have a wife and kids, and yet here you are, with no one, just trying to aspire to be as good as a fat dead man who used to pretend to wrestle. Maybe selling suits isn't as glamorous, but at least my suits are real and very reasonably priced. And not like you in your emperor's new clothes.
It's a shame you've taken so long to become eloquent during this show, but on that sad note, it's you know, just rub it in, it's the end of the show, my life's a waste of time. Thanks a lot. Well, thanks for listening.
Who
are you?
I would have thought that was obvious. I am the Pope Vice General!
Blimey, I didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition. Nice robes, Your Eminence. I know a guy who could knock you up something similar.
Shut up! Sorry for the delay in getting back to you, Richard. As you might expect, we get a lot of letters from people wanting to be Pope. Most of them lunatics, but yours was brilliant. The Catholic Church needs to be branded for the 21st century. We think you're the man for the job.
Yeah, but hold on, what about Pope Benedict?
That's easily dealt with. Do a Pope John Paul the First, and there's any more.
Well, I'll take the job. Getting to be Pope would feel like a real life's achievement. That's almost as good as being Big Daddy.
So, what do you want your papal name to be?
How about Kevin the First, because he's English?
He's very good, very good.
I'd like to be Pope Richard Herringus the First, or the Paul Second, if there's already been one of those.
Okay, we just need you to sign this official document, then I will kiss your ring.
Grow up, Paul, he means my painful ring.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean that.
murder of his wife, TV's Emma Kennedy.
I didn't murder her. I didn't. She's gone to America to be a showgirl.
No, she hasn't. Emma Kennedy is far too old and ugly to be a showgirl. And in any case, she is barred from ever visiting America due to her support of right-wing political organisations.
She did love them at work, twins. I mean, she does love them. She is still alive.
Yeah, well, she's missing. And the newspapers are all speculating that it was probably you that did away with her, and that is evidence enough for me and any other right-thinking person.
You murdered your wife, you can't be Pope then.
Oh, come on, you Catholics have turned a blind eye to a lot worse things than that. You know what I'm talking about.
It's not the murder that's the problem. I don't think God ever said anything about that. No. It's the fact that you've been married. And even worse, to a woman! We can't be having that in the Catholic Church. I bid you good day!
Oh, can I come back? I want to be Pope. I'd be great in it. I really hate condoms. They just spoil it so badly.
Bad luck, Rich. Bad luck. The Pope Father General has gone.
Yep, so come on. There'll be no hanging around with loads of men all having sex with each other where you're going. Risen.
I didn't kill anyone.
Look, it'll save us a lot of time and bother. You just confess immediately, otherwise we will have to organise a search.
No, it's okay, I did it. I killed her. TV's Emma Kennedy is dead.
Sorry, I just leant on the keyboard.
Hi everyone, sorry I'm late. Did someone say my name?
TV's Emma Kennedy? It's a ghost!
No, I am alive and well.
But where were you, Emma?
You don't have to tell them, Emma, don't say
that.
No, it's no one's business but yourself.
It's okay. I got a part in my family.
Oh, well done. Now everyone knows I'm married to someone who's been in my family. So embarrassing. So you would have admitted to murder rather than have to say your wife was in my family.
Yeah, I can understand.
What about the poison last week?
It wasn't poison. It was Rehypnol. No, not so I could have sex with her. Emma's the one woman in the world you put Rehypnol in a drink so you can leave her in the pub. Is that a waste of Rehypnol? It's quite expensive. No, I think it's worth it. Seeing Emma's made me give up on wanting to rape her.
isn't it?